Welcome to St. Paul's Sunday Snippets. This is a time where we are intentional about stopping to reflect and listen to the readings that are appointed for today. I pray that as you hear God's word, it would come into your life, that it would begin to sprout and the roots would begin to go deep in your life, that the word would come to you and speak to you this day. Now we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Bountiful God, you gather your people into your realm, and you promise us food from your tree of life. Nourish us with your word, that empowered by your Spirit, we may love one another and the world you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The second reading that's appointed for this day comes from the book of Revelation. St. John, while he's on the island of Patmos, has this vision that comes to him, and he records that vision in the book of Revelation. The very end of it, this is towards the end of it, this is the 21st and 22nd chapter, he writes, "And in the Spirit, one of the angels carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring it into the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants shall worship him. They shall see his face, and his name will be on their forehead, and there will be no more night. There will be no need of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." This is the word of the Lord. When we tend to think about this book of Revelation, a lot of times people see it as a book that's confusing, and they also tend to focus not on a reading like today, but they focus on the parts that are filled with wrath and vengeance of God pouring, the destruction upon the earth and the Antichrist and the beast and all that kind of stuff, that imagery. The reality is, this vision, while it contains some of that, I think those parts are actually secondary. The ending of the book ends very different, not in wrath, but in something else. The book of Revelation is what's called apocalyptic literature. And many times when we think of this word apocalyptic, what we tend to think of is the end times, where people think of this giant war or something that's coming to a culmination. The word apocalypse literally means to unveil something. It means like pulling the curtains open. This vision given to John is God giving him this vision to pull back the curtain so that people in his time, and we think it was written to a community that was being persecuted. And the message that is sent isn't about wrath or persecution, but it's about what is here at the end, towards the end. The message, in many ways, of the whole book of Revelation, I think, can be summed down to these two words: God wins. That what we see here is this vision is at the end, God is the one who's in control. He says, after all the stuff that's seen, God brings the new Jerusalem down out of heaven. That God is going to take that which is old and recreate it to be new. And notice what happens. Some of the things that I think the people in John's community, some of the people at the time of the Bible that they would have thought would have been the most important, are missing. Notice what it says. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. The city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it. The gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night. Think about what that really is proclaiming. For the Jewish people, Jerusalem was the holy city. And a lot of the reason it was the holy city is because the temple was there. The temple was where the presence of God, this is where God dwelt. And now in this city, there is no temple. In many ways, there's no need for this one place where God will dwell because God is in the midst of everything. The city is shown, the light that illuminates the city is God himself, is the Lamb, Jesus, who comes to rule forever. That it's no longer about the pomp and circumstance of the temple rituals, but people living out day to day, worshiping, singing, praising, living in the presence of God. That's this what this new vision is. See that it's not about the persecution that's happening, that God will persevere. God will be there in the end, and the reality is God will win. For the city has no need of the temple. Think about also the other thing, that you need light, right? So you can see what you're doing. It's like there's no need for the sun because the Lamb provides that light to light the path and where we are going. The gates are never closed. Gates were an important part in the city because they provided protection. And notice in this vision that John has, as God makes all things new, as God recreates all of this, it's not a fortress that's enveloped where now all that can't come in. But the gates are never closed. That notion, there's no separation between the holy city and everything else. There's movement between them. It says the gates are never closed during the day, and there is no night. This notion of this openness of God calling the people to be in this holy city, that God is there and will watch over them. As we hear this vision, as we see what God is doing, as he talks about the river of life, the tree that the fruits provide for the healing of the nation, what we see is that God is restoring everything. And as we think about, okay, so what does this mean for me today? What does this say to us in our world now? Because this vision hasn't become a reality. What it says is that God will do this, and God is working on that. Part of it is, as we live this life, we trust that God is the one who ultimately is in control. When we see the chaos and destruction, when we are fearful of stuff that's going on in our world, it's easy sometimes to give in and allow that to shape us. Rather, what we need to cling to is that God is the one who is at work. and God will take all things and make them new. To trust in Him through all things, and as we journey through life, to seek His healing, to see how He will make everything anew, that no matter what's going on, God will be there, for He will be the light. When we think about that, at least for me, my mind goes to the Psalms. And I think about Psalm 119, 105, that says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." This passage illuminates that as well, to say, here, God is at work. His word casts this light for us. There will come a time when God's light will cast its light on everything. But now, in this day and age, His word, the scriptures, Jesus, the Spirit, is at work and casts that light before us so that we may seek to walk in faith, knowing that that light shines the path before us and for us to trust that God is at work. Too often, when people go and they think of Revelation, they think of the vengeance and destruction. But here, towards the end of this book, the vision reminds us that no, it's God's light that shines to lead us, to guide us, to protect us, and to watch over us. And for that, we say amen. Now let us pray. Lord Jesus, You are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In this vision that John has, we see how You take all things and make them new. Help us, in the words of St. Paul, to be a new creation in Christ, to see how You are making our life new, and how Your light shines before us, to lead us, to guide us, and to help us in this journey of faith. Watch over us, protect us, and constantly lead us on. We pray this in Your holy name. Amen. As you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May He go before you to show you the way. May He go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. Amen.